Live. We're launching in hour number two. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 1-800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. 800-259-9231. Join us on our website. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site are for free, so enjoy those on us. Then again, freetalklive.com. You can call in about anything. In the meantime, we go to LouRockwell.com's Anthony Gregory and an excellent little article about libertarians and whether or not we worship the marketplace. Do libertarians worship at the altar of the market? Now, I call myself a free marketeer, so someone could possibly accuse me of something like this. I think it's an interesting story. He says, among other common accusations, we libertarians are accustomed to the charge that we worship the market. We're lumped in with conservatives, Republicans, and big businessmen, all of whom ostensibly have turned private enterprise into some sort of god to be honored and obeyed regardless of the consequences for humanity. To oppose state interventions in the economy, especially in the form of regulations or welfare, is supposedly the sign of dogmatic fanaticism, but without the saving grace of spirituality. No, our worship is that of cold, hard, inhumane materialism. Ironies and confusions abound from this gross mischaracterization. First off, we do not, as libertarians, categorically have to have any position toward the marketplace other than that it should be free from coercive intrusion. Our only necessary moral take on capitalism is that it should be separated completely from aggression. Which is the biggest problem that we see today, is that people don't understand what capitalism really is.
Mm-hmm.
They look at the American society and they say, well, we live in a capitalistic society. It's not true capitalism. It may be capitalistic in that there are people doing capitalist actions in the society, but when you've got government around, when you've got the reins of power available to people that are greedy, they are inevitably going to go after those reins of power and use them to enrich themselves and their friends and punish their enemies. So it's quite dangerous to have the coercive institution of government around, whether or not it's a capitalist society. So I think that people misunderstand capitalism. They don't. It's one of those words that's just been destroyed over time and through misuse in popular culture. I would like to have a truly capitalist society, but we don't have that today. What we have is what they call a mixed economy, right?
Yeah, mostly where socialism and corporatism.
Where there's a whole lot of socialism, a lot of wealth redistribution, but capitalism is allowed to some extent if you jump through the right hoops, if you grease the right palms,
and if you're in the right industry,
right? Yeah. So to say that libertarians worship the market is no more correct than saying drug policy reformers worship drug abuse because they question the notion that government force is the proper remedy. At a minimum, libertarians only tolerate the market and wish for it to be separated from state violence. This is the presumed liberal position on religion, that government should neither actively promote nor restrict religion. Yet this doesn't mean all liberals worship every faith that they wish to see isolated from coercive sanction. Of course, most libertarians happen not to be neutral on the market itself. We do, not out of first ethical principles, but from other considerations, tend to possibly favor the market. Some of us would say we love it, even if we would come short of admitting any sort of religious devotion to it. And this is where understanding economics comes into play. Although the voluntary nature of the market alone makes it necessarily more attractive to libertarians than the government, economic science and simple empirical evidence makes the bulletproof case that we owe much more to the market than is realized by most people, including, and here's one of those ironies, conservatives, Republicans, and big businessmen. It's not an exaggeration to say that civilization itself depends on the free exchange of goods and services, though there are some people that will claim that civilization only exists because of government. We've had people make that claim on this show before, and I just find it outrageous. I don't think it's based on anything but pure fantasy, personally.
Well, civilization has risen with government. You can claim whatever you wish about that relationship, but largely there isn't a great example of a civilization rising without government.
Well, it's really that civilization has risen in spite of government, not because of government.
I would say that civilization would continue. I don't like to get into the past too much on these
right.
issues, because you can go back and forth on it, but certainly if we back the government off 75%,
mm-hmm.
if civilization is going to do just fine here in the United States.
Of course it will, for the reasons he's going to point out. But, you know, civilization and being civilized has to do with a certain mode of operation. You know, it's not civilized to go and steal things from your neighbor. It is civilized to ask permission to do things and that sort of thing, to ask to borrow or to purchase and that and so on. So government doesn't operate in a civilized fashion at all. It uses violence and threats of violence in order to get its way. So government is the antithesis of civilization, and civilization should be congratulated for being able to progress even in the face of these armed government people that are demanding they do what they want them to.
You know, I like what Doug Casey said a few weeks ago when we interviewed him. He said there are two ways to interact with other people. One is on a voluntary basis, and one is through force and coercion.
It's true.
And there's no place for force and coercion in a civilized society.
Absolutely. And that's really what we're trying to do on Free Talk Live and in the Liberty Movement as a whole, is trying to help people understand that. You know, most people have never had that, had it made crystal clear to them. They've never seen that choice before. They choose voluntary interactions unless they're a violent criminal or a government person. But yes, 99.9% of people are dealing on a voluntary basis. They just need to understand that that's the way everyone should operate, including the government. Of course, then again, they won't be government anymore, but let's continue. Without private property, there would be no commerce, no culture, no society of which to speak. There would be no food and no clothing for the masses, no medical technology.
This is what's claimed.
No comparative frivolity, such as musical equipment. Well, I mean, the communist Russians had food. You just had to wait in lines to get it, and it was moldy and gross.
Bad.
So no comparative frivolity, such as musical equipment, athletic gear, art supplies, nor the leisure time during which to indulge in them. There would, for nearly all humans living today, be no life. To reject private property and the right to buy, sell, and trade is to reject the foundations of economic progress, out of which comes the time for men and women to engage in charity, to improve themselves in matters scientific and spiritual, to philosophize and better all of humanity with insights that bring us closer to the civil ideal. Now, have I just conceded that which I had set out to refute? Some might read that above those above words and conclude that I indeed worship the market, that I see in materialism the salvation of humanity. How crude! How vulgar, how oversimplified. Well, consider the socialist alternatives. Economic interventionists of all stripes wish to hamper the marketplace, to constrain it, to force it into their own mold. It's clearly no small institution in their assessment. They seem to see it as a bane nearly as much as we see it as a blessing. What's more, they understand that wealth is required for all of their central planning schemes, whether the ones that will one day achieve utopia or the ones that will inject some pragmatic order into the chaos of the marketplace. How do they seek to fund their beloved government interventions? By stealing from the market. Whether by inflating the money supply, seizing land and resources outright, or confiscating the fruits of production, labor, and exchange, all government programs have depended upon preying on the private sector for their operating budgets. Even as those who question the majesty of the market can conceive of, only one way of funding their alternative institution by robbing that from that which they disparage. Thus do all regulators, welfare workers, public school teachers, police officers, soldiers, bureaucrats, and politicians get paid by looting the demonized and misunderstood voluntary sector of economic life. Thus do all who depend on government handouts ultimately depend ever more fundamentally upon the market that produces the wealth in the first place. While the market doesn't need politicians and social workers in order to do its magic, without the market as a host, the parasitic state would have nothing on which to prey, and it would die instantly, which explains why the state is so big in America. I mean, there are more despotic countries out there that rule with a much more clenched fist and more overt violence than the American state does.
Many of those states are supported by the United States.
That's true. And they don't have the tax base from which to extract tremendous amounts of wealth from in order to expand their activities significantly. Whereas this government has managed to grow into this leviathan. I mean, it has gotten into every area of our lives with its awful tentacles of control. And it's because the marketplace is so relatively strong in America. Because it was so much more free. For instance, the beginning of the 20th century, the marketplace in America was far more free than it is today. And that's when the real bulk of the wealth in this country was created, when a lot of amazing innovations happened. I'm not saying innovations aren't happening today. They are, and there's some really amazing ones happening today. But we could be having more of it if it weren't for this parasitic government on the backs of all of the productive people in the economy. More on the way. Do libertarians worship the market? This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are you comfortable every night in your bed? Do you look forward to another night of blissful slumber? Since I've been sleeping on my mattress from SavvyRest, I've had some of the best sleep of my life. My shoulders and ribs don't ache in the morning like they did from my old mattress, and my wife loves it too. SavvyRest mattresses are made of natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton, and they feel amazing. You sleep a third of your life, and you feel the results all day. The right mattress makes the difference. Go to SavvyRest.com and buy a latex mattress today. SavvyRest.com, for the sleep you've been dreaming of.
This is a market alert from Midas Resources. Since August 9th, the Fed has created and injected $200 billion into the financial markets to keep them afloat, ignoring the hyperinflationary hangover that is the sure result. Data released by the New York Federal Reserve shows that foreign central banks have cut their stash of U.S. Treasuries by $48 billion since late July, with falls of $32 billion in the last 2 weeks alone. Could China be quietly dumping the dollar? The quality of your life depends on the quality of your currency, and the quality of the dollar is poor because the quantity is so high. Printing money out of thin air has disastrous results, victimizing middle-class citizens and discouraging savings. If you have been considering precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you need to act now. Procrastination is the mother of lost opportunities. Call me, Tom Andrew, at 1-800-606-1294. That's 1-800-606-1294.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making us all slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months. With a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. Tickle CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark, join us on our website. Freetalklive.com is the place to go. The wiki is there. Over 1,400 pages created by listeners like you. It's like a listener editable version of our website. Get interactive at wiki.freetalklive.com, wiki.freetalklive.com. And do you need a new computer but don't seem to have the money or credit to buy one? MyPCCredit.com is your answer. Finance top quality new computers and laptops and hundreds of other electronics. There are no credit checks and no turndowns. If you're 18 years or older and have proof of income, you're approved. Prices start from $22 a month. So go to MyPCCredit.com and finance your new computer today. That's MyPCCredit.com. 800-259-9231. As we continue to talk about, do libertarians worship the marketplace? That's what Anthony Gregory is addressing over at LouRockwell.com. He's pointing out that the government can only operate. All these government programs that so many people love so much, more the government-type people, they can only operate with a productive marketplace to prey upon because they're not actually out there creating products and services and offering them on a voluntary basis and doing business on a voluntary basis. They
like
have
my PC credit.
I guess, yeah. They have to have people, they have to have business people in order to suck off their wealth from them. And he says the socialists used to believe that markets couldn't produce wealth for the masses, feed and clothe them. Now they have mostly abandoned that argument and focused on the inequalities and obscenities of mass production. They even belittled those of us who defend the market as being beholden to materialism, commercialism, and mere things as opposed to people. Yet at the core of all of their demands for 1,000 new government programs is a demand for material goods.
Right, they have to have money to do it.
Those who chant that healthcare is a human right are really talking about bottles of antibiotics, surgical tools, hospitals, and beds for the infirmed. Those who demand more money for the schools are similarly talking about books, chalkboards, and other physical goods. They're just as materialistic as we are. They see dollar signs on everything, too. For them, all of social life revolves around commodities. The only difference is how they seek to get goods to those who need them. We see cooperation and voluntary exchange rather than robbery as the answer. Yet there's another element in economics that can't be forgotten, without which no physical good can be of use to anyone, and that is the human component, the labor and the organizing and the mental work that it takes to get things done. All of the hospital beds are nearly useless without nurses or doctors, to say nothing of those who truck them around, deliver them, and assemble them. As socialist programs continue to violate and loot from the market in order to achieve their supposed goals, they eventually run into a fundamental problem. You can move beds around, you can transport chalkboards, and you can steal money. But what about the people involved? The human beings, the doctors and nurses, teachers and workers of all kinds. They must either be bought off with stolen wealth, or failing that, coercion must be applied on them. The more socialism persists, the more society moves from voluntary means to compulsory means. Ultimately, Herbert Spencer was all too right when he said that all socialism involves slavery. For the more the voluntary means of the market are discarded and replaced with the political means, the more people are enslaved to the socialist project. Even leftists understand on some level the connection between human rights and free markets. Many of them decried the sanctions on Iraq, for example, a cruel imposition of political priorities to the fatal detriment of millions of people's inalienable rights to own property and trade it voluntarily. And remember, sanctions are when the government goes in and says, sorry, you can't have any imports anymore. You can't. We're not going to allow these sorts of imports. No more medicine, no more food, no more this, no more that.
We did it to Japan in World War II, too.
That's right, because you've been a very bad little puppet.
Right, but it's you're punishing the people of the country for, you know, the bad things
right.
The government has done.
I mean, we saw Saddam Hussein's palaces. The fact is, the sanctions that we put on Iraq didn't have anything to do, you know, they didn't affect Saddam Hussein poorly. They affected the Iraqis poorly.
Yeah.
Many of them decried the sanctions on Iraq. He said the Iraqis didn't need handouts from the U.S. government. They just needed to be left alone to trade. Yet conservatives who pay lip service to free trade had little problem defending these unspeakably wicked violations of Iraqis' human right to trade. Oddly, the left didn't learn that lesson, that every such government violation of the market order has terrible effects, both seen and unseen, for those who need material goods and thus property rights just to live healthy and be adequately fed. Do we worship the market? No, but we do recognize that we owe to it all of the wealth around us, the material progress that the socialists call superficial, even as they expropriate it and try to mimic it with their own violent institution, the state. We do recognize that civilization could not exist without economic exchange. We also recognize that as imperfect as the market might be, just as humanity itself falls short of perfection, it is infinitely superior to the intrinsically violent and dehumanizing organization known as the state. I'd make a wager to all the statists. We'll see how we'll fare with just the market, without the state constantly imposing its edicts and robbing from its product. Then we can see how well we would do if we eliminated voluntary exchange, production, and private property altogether. See if the state could even survive not having something to feed off of. Of course, this wager is unnecessary, since every time socialism has been seriously attempted, the burden civilization simply couldn't handle it, and something had to give way.
Right, and if you think that the USSR was somehow the pinnacle of socialism, you're mistaken.
Not even socialists think that. They just think they did it the wrong way, and we need to do it a different way.
Well, they tried getting rid of money. They tried getting rid of private property. They tried getting rid of those things,
mm-hmm.
and people simply wouldn't have it. There's no way that people will work if they don't have anything of their own to possess.
And you know, I remember reading that Russia was the largest exporter of food in the world up until Lenin and Stalin, and then they were starving, and it wasn't until they allowed the people to grow their own food in their own gardens that they actually had some food.
And study and contrast.
Yeah, and the United States was actually sending a lot of food to Russia in the Soviet Union later on.
Right, because a government simply can't do anything as efficiently as the marketplace. They can't do anything right.
I mean, there's no accountability, and there's no incentive, and there are no market signals to the government. Or very few.
Yep.
In the process, inevitably come enslavement and impoverishment on a wide scale. Eventually, the state itself collapses, as the host can no longer support it. So, instead, I'll just pose a question. If the market is so horrible, why can't the state create its own wealth and achieve its goals without robbing the market?
Good point.
Of course, if it could, it wouldn't be a state at all, but just another voluntary market institution. Is it really any wonder that we prefer that which is necessary to humanity and inherently productive to that which can only live violently at its expense? 800-259-9231. It's not necessarily a worship of the marketplace. It's just an understanding that
it works.
Voluntary interactions produce benefits for society while coercive interactions destroy society. That's all. We're just observing what is true.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was mentioning on the break that I was in Newport, Rhode Island over the weekend, and that you have all those big mansions. And you go down the center of the town, there's all these beautiful old buildings with stone and brick, and you look at, this is 1903, and I was looking through a book about the mansions, and they were all built before 1915, most of the big ones, the really big, grand ones. And as far as I'm concerned, really 1913 is when we stopped being a truly capitalist nation. But you saw all the wealth that really was created in a relatively short period of time during that early 1900s period before we went on a central bank system. And I was just blown away. I was completely blown away.
And you were saying that essentially before 1913, people were building with cash. They weren't financing from banks
much. Yeah, businesses could finance their own expansion, and the banks didn't like that.
And that'd be great. More businesses should be able to do that. More on the way. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
Yes, there is an in-dash AM/FM shortwave radio. For limited time and in limited numbers, the Sony GT-160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player is available only at the Power Hour. This radio is designed to eliminate interference from ignition systems, and the result is clear, clean reception, so you can hear your favorite broadcasts both domestically and internationally. Get your Sony AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour today. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. To order. Only $249 plus shipping and handling, and we'll ship it right to you. There's even an input to plug in an external source. Your MP3 player, your iPod, your DVD player, or any other source will sound great through your new Sony receiver. These radios are not available anywhere else and for a limited time, so call now. Dial 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get your Sony GT-160S AM/FM shortwave radio and CD player from the Power Hour.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN news bulletin. Honeybees are now mysteriously vanishing at an astonishing pace across the entire country. Why is this urgent message about honeybees so desperately important? The answer is easy. You see, honeybees produce a unique compound, fed only to the queen, that makes her live 6 times longer than other bees in the hive. Some researchers now believe the compound may have miraculous effects on humans as well. The compound is called Royal Jelly, and is now available in an all-new, ultra-purified form called Jellicene Gold. The product has been designed for purity conscious Americans who are concerned about contaminated royal jelly entering the U.S. from Asia. Solutions from Science is the only company authorized to sell Jellicene Gold in the U.S. They believe it to be the purest, most potent, and safest form of royal jelly in the world. GCN listeners can now purchase this product wholesale on the Solutions website without paying anything today. Visit the Safer Jelly website right now. That's SaferJelly.com. SaferJelly.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
Hey, Emily. Wow, you look great.
I feel great. I've been using MetaCleanse Colon Cleanse.
Really? What is it? How does it work?
MetaCleanse is a natural fiber therapy with ground flaxseed, psyllium, and bentonite clay that eliminates toxins from your body. MetaCleanse is easy to use without being intrusive. You take 2 tablespoons of MetaCleanse powder, mix with water or juice, drink, and it does all the work for you.
That's it? Well, it sounds so easy and convenient.
It is easy. Plus, the FDA says flaxseed works to prevent cancer and helps with menopause, weight loss, irritable bowel syndrome, and constipation.
It helps with all of those ailments? That's amazing.
And the bentonite clay in MetaCleanse eliminates viruses and pesticides in the intestinal tract.
Wow. Where can I buy MetaCleanse?
A 1-month supply is available online at MetaCleanse.com. That's MetaCleanse.com. For only $22.95 plus shipping, MetaCleanse is shipped directly to you. Or call them at 1-800-317-9547. That's 1-800-317-9547. Call today.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing GCN listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Call 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll free line. Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark. 800-259-9231. Join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are for free, and those include the archives, an entire year's worth of the show, front page of the website, for your download and convenience at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project, your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
We go to the phones and to the fun. Dan in Maine. Dan, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and
Howdy.
Mark and Wayne. Hello.
Howdy. How are you guys today?
Great. What's on your mind, Dan?
I'm just calling to let you know a personal campaign success story with Ron Paul I've had as of recently.
Do tell.
Well, recently I purchased that pack of 1,000, you know, Liberty cards with the Ron Paul on it and, you know, showing things he hasn't voted on.
Okay.
And,
by the way, you can do that at libertycard.org. That's where those are available.
Yep.
Okay.
I purchased 1,000 of those and I got the bumper stickers. And, I was handing them around my work and whatnot. And I actually had some of my supervisors and bosses call me into their offices and ask me, you know, and ask me how to, like, to more elaborate more on why I support this person.
Hmm.
And actually, the majority of my, like, supervisors were all, you know, they had never heard of him, and they were, you know, very enthusiastic about, you know, how, like, liberating his campaign is.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I've put a couple of the cards of his on the punch-out, you know, where people punch in their cards
at their
time and whatnot. I put a couple of the cards near there, and I noticed at the end of the day, probably about 10 of my fellow coworkers just picked up the cards and, you know, they looked at some of the stuff, how he, you know, voted not to raise taxes and against the war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard from a couple of people, I'm voting for this guy.
Yeah, that's great. That is fantastic. And I'm glad that they didn't come down on you. Were you a little nervous when they called you in? Were you concerned they were going to maybe say, you shouldn't be doing this, politics at work, blah, blah, blah?
Well, it's a pretty casual business, so...
That's good.
I wasn't really worried, and they know me to be, you know, pretty open with my views and whatnot, so...
You know, talk about two winning issues. I mean, the taxes and the war. Those are just huge, huge issues for most Americans. I mean, the vast majority of Americans want to end the war, and I think the vast majority of Americans would agree they're overtaxed. So, I mean, wonderful leading issues to bring people into the campaign. And congratulations on that. Anything else to share?
Yeah, actually, I had a couple more comments. I really love the Free State Project, though being in Maine, and I have a pretty good job here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that the Free State Project, New Hampshire, succeeds, and that probably would kind of cut Maine off from the, you know, the socialism, you know, going on in the country.
I don't know. And Alaska's kind of cut off, too, and they're doing all right as far as socialism is concerned.
I'm kind of hoping that will leech over to Maine, because I know... Like, me and my friends, we actually drive to New Hampshire to get all of our clothes and stuff in bulk. Because
where do you live in Maine?
Yeah.
Where do you live in Maine?
I live right in Portland.
Ah, so right not too far from the border.
Portland's a fun town.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I think that's what you might see. Wasn't Maine one of the candidate states for the Free State Project?
I don't recall.
I think it was.
I know Vermont was, and I think Maine was as well.
All I remember is Wyoming because they came in number two, and
right.
Delaware,
Alaska,
and Delaware because they were the farthest south.
I think Maine was one of them, and I think that it was definitely qualified to possibly be the selected state. It just didn't make it. It just didn't have that live free or die attitude that I think really attracted people to New Hampshire. But who knows, man? Jobs can change, and maybe someday you'll be looking for something else, and you'll look over this direction.
Yeah. If Ron Paul doesn't get elected, I'd be seriously looking at the Free State Project.
Very good, Dan. Thank you. We appreciate the call, man. 800-259-9231. A lot of people are getting excited about the Ron Paul campaign, and I think it's great. I'm pretty excited myself, and I normally have to temper myself. I have to be careful. You can't get too involved and too excited because then you'll get burned out, and I'm preparing myself for the inevitable burnout of a Ron Paul failure.
You know, I know that you got hurt a lot in that one campaign that you did, the Bill Van Allen House State House campaign that you did. And I know it was painful for you, but
it's painful every time a Libertarian...
Right, 2%. But you've only been in one campaign that thoroughly immersed. I mean, you were in it and totally emotionally involved in that campaign. And I have decided with this Ron Paul campaign, I'm going to play like we're going to win. And that's the only way to play this thing. Yeah, it hurts when you tried to win and you lost. But I'm not going to play like, whoa, we could lose, and then... See a self-fulfilling prophecy happen. I'm playing to win. I was out the other day.
I'm not saying I'm not playing to win.
I'm just
saying you need to understand that you could lose.
You know,
and if you lose, you shouldn't give up.
That's like saying going into a marriage with the expectation that, well, you know, it's likely you'll get divorced.
We could always get divorced.
Well, you should get into a marriage understanding that divorce is a possibility. And that's why a lot of people get
prenuptials.
Prenups beforehand. Is that a bad thing? No, it's just sensible. It's a reality that you need to prepare for in the world that we live in today.
I see some sense in what you're talking about. I intend to play this Ron Paul campaign like we're going to win.
Yeah.
And I'll feel bad if we lose.
But you know what? I think when you point Ron Paul out to people who weren't aware of him, and they see his record, it just makes you look good because the guy has a stellar record.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like a typical politician, and yeah, he's a Republican, so when you talk to your Democratic friends, I always try to find out why they're upset with politics today, whether it's something Bush did. Mostly it's the war, but sometimes it's civil liberties, for example. Mm. Sometimes it's other things. But I try to find out what's important to them, and then I say, well, you know, Ron Paul voted against the Patriot Act. He voted against the war. He's been talking about this stuff for ever since before the war. And if you look at...
Can you see how many of your Democratic candidates voted against the Patriot Act and the war?
Not very many.
Right. And if you look at video of him on YouTube from 20 years ago, he was saying all the same stuff.
Yeah. You know, and this is the thing that when I talk to Democrats, and I've had a few occasions since I sort of came up with this philosophy, I tell them, look, you're likely going to vote for whatever Democrat comes along. What you really should do is register Republican or undeclared or, you know, whatever it takes to vote Republican in the primary and vote for Ron Paul in the primary, because wouldn't you rather have the choice, you know, the worst case scenario, Ron Paul wins the Republican nomination mm-hmm. instead of whatever Democrat, Giuliani, Romney.
Sure. Well, it's interesting you brought that up, because I had an email from a listener that was pointing out that he's a pianist, music teacher, and audio engineer for a local theater, and as you might expect, most of the people I run into are of the liberal persuasion. The other day, I wore a Ron Paul button to work at the theater, and a few people asked me, who's Ron Paul? I was totally unprepared for this. I started getting better at describing him by the third or fourth person. He wants to bring the troops home immediately, keep the government out of your home and out of your bedroom. But I'm wondering if you have any specific suggestions, perhaps some ideas about what I can say that would get liberals, artists, actors, etc., interested in looking into Ron Paul further. Talking to conservatives seems easier because I don't have the feeling like I need to tiptoe around the fact that he's a Republican.
Right.
So valid concerns, and I thought that you brought up the Patriot Act. That's got to be a heavy hitter when it comes to the liberals. I mean, they were the ones leading the charge. There were 100, and I think it was over 180 the last time I looked, over 180 cities and communities around the country have passed resolutions against the Patriot Act. Now, these don't actually do anything. They're just, we're against the Patriot Act. I mean, that's all it really is.
Resolutions.
Right. But nonetheless, those were campaigns that were led by the liberal contingent in America. So that's a huge issue with the liberals, is the Patriot Act.
Well,
Ron Paul's
and liberals are anti-Iraq war, and they're largely anti-war in general, at least in their own minds. Now, they will certainly not scream as loudly when a Democrat like Clinton invades Bosnia-Herzegovina, because they're doing it for the right reasons.
Or if Clinton had signed the Patriot Act, they'd probably shut up, too.
Maybe, probably.
But you can tell liberals.
But that doesn't mean, that's not a point you want to make to them.
Right. Look, all the Democrats that are up there that were in office at the time voted for this war in Iraq. They mm-hmm. voted for the war in Afghanistan. Ron Paul is the only politician, I guess Dennis Kucinich, are the only politicians that voted against.
And drug war,
they know Dennis Kucinich isn't going to win.
Drug war could be another one. Of course, many liberals are actually for the war on drugs, but they want to legalize marijuana, so maybe you should just keep it to that part. More on the way. It's Talk Live.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Do you need a new computer but don't seem to have the money to buy one? Is your credit stopping you from buying the newest computers that you need today? Then My Computer Club is your answer to buy that new computer or laptop now and pay for it later. Finance top quality new computers and laptops and hundreds of other electronics. There are no credit checks, no turndowns. If you're 18 years or older and have proof of income, you're approved. Prices start at just $22 a month. Go to mypccredit.com and finance your new computer today. That's mypccredit.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free
Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, Ken. It's Judy again. I just wanted to call you back and let you know how thankful Mike and I are for your working with us. You know the Sun Oven we ordered from you on KenSolar.com? It cooks all of our food and then some. Plus, we just sold the old gas barbecue. Also, the solar-powered generator reduced our electric bill just like you said it would, and it's powering my whole studio right now. We don't have to worry about our food going bad or surviving the outages anymore, either of which is huge. Well, Ken, I'll cut this one short for now, and thanks again. Go, Ken Solar!
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years, I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care and cardio maintenance. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with the building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by Jim Strauss after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery. As a seventh-generation herbalist, Jim knew that there were herbs that had a long tradition of heart, blood, and circulation properties, and that there had to be another option besides going under the knife. Jim said no and began working on a formula to better himself and others. After he perfected the mixture of herbs and spices, he created Strauss Heart Drops. Get the Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.95. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you really can do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free at 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark. And you can join us online, freetalklive.com. Like the show? Want to help support Free Talk Live? Then go shopping at the store. Head over to store.freetalklive.com and order some Free Talk Live merchandise like Free Talk Live t-shirts and hats and hoodies. We've got the DVD Classic Archive collector sets, free bumper stickers. Head on over to store.freetalklive.com and get your shopping done. That's store.freetalklive.com. In fact, we're heading into the holiday season, of course. And what a perfect excuse to buy some Free Talk Live gear for a loved one. You know, a lot of families sit down and listen to the show together, believe it or not. So, perfect excuse. Store.freetalklive.com. All right, so just a little bit more on the Ron Paul revolution. You know, Mark, I don't want it to make it sound like I'm not expecting, that I'm not working for success on this. I mean, we talk about Ron Paul on the show. If I thought that there was no chance Ron Paul could win, I'd probably just blow him off and not even discuss it on the program.
Right. We put a lot of airtime towards Ron Paul because we're both excited about it.
Right. We went after him. We got him on the air, and hopefully we'll get him back on
the
air.
I'm still after him.
Right. We want to get him back.
He's a busy guy.
And so I think that he's doing amazing things. Whether or not he wins, I think that his campaign is tremendously valuable because he's helping open people's hearts and minds in America and around the world, even, to liberty and freedom and these important concepts that we talk about on an almost nightly basis on this show. So his campaign is going to do tremendous good, I think, to especially with the young people of America, because it's really galvanizing them towards liberty and just in general, whether or not he is successful. All I'm pointing out is that people who are new to the political world, to political activism, mm-hmm. and supporting a candidate, supporting, in this case, a liberty-oriented candidate, need to understand
what they're going to be feeling. And I'm going to feel it, too. I'm going to be disappointed. You know, Michael Badnarik, the candidate for president, Libertarian Party candidate for president in 2004.
Right.
Nobody thought he was going to win. No, I mean, but that's what we were working towards. We wanted him to do as well as he possibly could.
Right.
Obviously.
I had a Badnarik bumper sticker on my little BMW at the time.
Right. So, and you still feel bad when he loses. Even though you knew it was going to probably not going to win, you still
right.
feel bad. You still feel like, oh, man, I wish we could have done better. But the thing is, you just don't want to burn out. You don't want that to turn into you going away and not being active for liberty or not supporting candidates in the future. That's all I'm saying. Prepare yourself for the inevitable negativity, even if it doesn't come from you. It may not come from you. It may come from the people that were around you. The people that said, oh, you said that, Ron Paul, he had a chance, and now, look, he didn't even get fifth place. What do you know? You know, you never know what you're going to experience after the election cycle is through.
Right.
And that's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to prepare people for that situation. You need to understand how to deal with it, not let it get to you. You know, not let it break you away from the activism, because what's important, and Ron Paul would tell you this, he would tell you that he isn't the most important part of his campaign. He's just the guy running for president. It's all the people that are surrounding his campaign. It's
the movement.
Right. It's the Liberty movement. It's the Ron Paul movement. It's the people that are getting excited and getting activism. Those are the people that are going to make the difference. Those are the people that are really the future of liberty in America. Ron Paul, you know, he's in his 70s. He's on his way out. You know, he's not going to be around in politics for much longer. He's probably going to want to live out the rest of his life with his wife or whatever and enjoy
but
not
you know,
going to D.C.
But you know, his son, Rand, is very well spoken. And it's as if when I've heard Rand speak, it's almost as if he's a younger Ron Paul. It's
sure.
pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, Rand, I would agree, but Rand doesn't have the pedigree that Ron Paul does. He doesn't have, 10-term U.S. House of Representatives.
Sure.
Ron Paul's got that, and I would say that this is, I consider this to be the most important shot, if it's not the final shot.
It's certainly the best shot of our lives. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't
sure
mean
is.
Things can't get better from here, but again, they won't get better if people get disappointed, and people get upset, and people burn out.
That's right.
I know I've talked about it already this week, so we'll move on. Let's go to the email.
Pace yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And be realistic. Be excited now. Get excited now and transfer that excitement and that sense of enthusiasm and that sense of urgency to others. Like Dan, who called in a few moments ago from Maine, he's excited at work. And he's giving out the Liberty cards with Ron Paul on them. And their people are getting excited as a result.
Right, you can get Liberty cards at libertycard.com.
.org,
excuse me. And you can go to ronpaulstuff.com and you can get bumper stickers, big giant vinyl bumper stickers for the back window of your car.
Sure.
All kinds of stuff.
By the way, I wanted to say something. When I talk to my Democrat friends about Ron Paul, I always try to tell them that, you know, he's not really a Republican. He's a libertarian running as a Republican because of political expediency, that he found that he didn't really want to run as a third-party candidate, and he's been very successful in his district running as a Republican, and all of his constituents know he's a libertarian.
So maybe they'll give him a few points if they know he's not really a Republican?
Yes, exactly. And I always tell them how he's basically making the GOP establishment, he's driving them crazy. Because they want him out, but he's so popular they can't get rid of him.
Shane emails in the show. He says, I'm a regular podcast listener, which often leaves me a day or even a week behind programming. But I wanted to pose a question about a recent episode in regards to copyright law. I agree with the fact that many people abuse the copyright laws that currently exist. And I also am not particularly interested in government control of such issues. However, I do believe in intellectual property rights, and I was wondering what your ideas were for the free market regulation of these rights. For example, if a person is to write a book, how are they to prevent that book from being posted by someone else for free online or republished under their own name? And if there is a way to regulate this, who in a free market is in charge of enforcing it? Thanks for your thoughts, and you can feel free to address this on the air. So how in a free marketplace, absent of government monopoly privilege, copyright or patents or whatever, how could an author be protected? It's a great question.
They used to have the old common law copyrights where you didn't use the government copyright office to copyright something. You basically copyrighted it, and then maybe you'd send it out in the mail to yourself. And if somebody did rip you off, you could prove it in court, and you could take them to court and get damages or get them to stop.
Certainly one option. Of course, that does involve government courts, is what you're saying. Sounds like you're talking about.
Or it could be an arbitrator. It doesn't matter. It depends how small you want to get right away with the government.
Right. There certainly could be arbitration with a reputation rating system. We discussed that, I think, last night on the show briefly, the concept of reputation ratings earlier this week. And there are now online reputation rating sites that have taken the concept of like an eBay rating and blown it up and made it so you can leave all kinds of information about people and comments and that sort of thing. And so I think that tying in some sort of a reputation rating system might be a good way to help prohibit that. But let's look at reality. And the reality is that today, even with all the government's scary copyright laws and their threats of violence and this woman that was just fined $220,000 for downloading 24 songs onto her computer, even with the draconian level of enforcement that we have in the current world of copyright law, look at the rampant piracy. It's rampant. You know, Harry Potter book comes out, and it's been pirated within days, if not days before its actual supposed date of release. And these are pirates that they're not interested in putting their name on the product. That doesn't happen very much in America for whatever reason. Maybe they just understand that you can't really build a brand on plagiarism.
Well, because you wouldn't be able to sell it. To be able to sell something, people have to be able to get in contact with you.
Right.
In order to get in contact with you, the cops can find you.
Well, you couldn't sell it through the normal channels. You could if you wanted to throw a couple of your books out on the sidewalk and, you know, like sell like the guys do with the DVDs in New York City.
You'd have a hell of a time making a living doing that. It's hardly worth the trouble.
Amazon is not going to pick up your book for sale if you aren't the original publisher. Barnes & Noble, the major book distributors, aren't going to play. I mean, the channels,
right.
The book
under the current
channel.
Paradigm. Now, if you were to, you know, if you're talking about a free market paradigm where there is no punishment for plagiarizing somebody's work, people could very well slap their name on your book and try to sell it.
It's not very likely unless there was some store out there that was specifically made a name for itself by selling plagiarized works, which, again, doesn't seem very likely in the marketplace.
Big Lots or something like that?
Yeah, like the Big Lots for books.
Well, why wouldn't Big Lots try to sell books?
Well, Big Lots, I'm sure, does sell books, but they're not plagiarized. But I guess my point on this, Mark, is that the way the distribution system works for books in this country is that Barnes & Noble doesn't want to be seen as a company that's selling questionable material. They want to be. They want to have good business relationships with the publishers of America. And if a publisher finds out that Barnes & Noble has been selling an inferior, plagiarized, pirated copy under somebody else's name or label on their shelves, they're going to be pissed. And they aren't going to give them any more. They're not going to do business with them in the future. And they're going to take their business to a store that is, you know, upright and doing business on an honest basis. So I don't really believe that your paranoid claims are really, you know, they really hold much water in the world of the marketplace and reputation. Because reputation is important to businesses as well.
Well, but you can, as a business, you can gain reputation for having the lowest price. You can gain reputation for having knockoff brands. I mean, knockoff.com or whatever it is out there might very well
make. Is there a knockoff.com?
I would guarantee there is a knockoff.com. You know, they might very well make a great living selling knockoff authors' books. You know, the new Terry Goodkind hardcover, which is due out next month, could come out and I could slap my name on it. Mark Edge, you know, the final book in the Sword of Truth series, and they would sell it at knockoff.com, or they would just put their own name on it.
I don't know, man. I don't know if UPS or FedEx or the delivery services would be interested in doing business with a company like that has bad reputation. It could affect theirs. Hour 3 is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president. A serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage. If you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple. More of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, Libertarian for President. I approved of this message.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN program. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.